Good morning, everybody. Good to be here with you. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew 7. Everybody knows Matthew 7. Even if you don't, when I read it, you go, oh, yeah, that's Matthew 7. Verse 7. Do you know what I like when Jesus has given us an insight? I don't know about you guys, but when he gives a teaching, you know it's from the Son of God. And you like, you know there's it's like the case is closed, the debate is over. I want to encourage you this morning. What Jesus says you can stick to, what Jesus says you can declare, what Jesus says you can know that it is real, guys. There's no debate, there's no open-ended, you know. His truth is not going to be not true later, and you can hold to it. But this is the famous verse in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7. And Jesus says a series of things about prayer. He says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open to you. Now, sometimes there's one way you can see this, and you can look at it a lot of ways. People, they ask, they seek, they knock. But sometimes I look at it as a continuation when he speaks about this dimension of prayer, okay? Like a step process. I want you to think about something. The asking is really critical. If we start out with what he says, ask, and it will be given to you. The thing about to know the weight that you carry, it's not about, a lot of times people talk about authority and they get into this, but the thing is, because Jesus is often referring to the Father as the Father, he puts it in a relationship module, so when you pray as a family member. When you pray, you don't necessarily are always praying from some place of a power advantage, but you're praying as a son or a daughter of God, and you are praying to the Father. I mean, you need to really let this sink in your head because oftentimes we read past it. Now, these three phases can work independently. I've asked the Lord for things, and he gives them to me, but I've also seen where they work almost like a train. Asking is critical because we know in some parts of the Scripture it says we don't have because we don't ask. And then the other part is when we ask for the wrong things. Imagine being in a place where you don't ask the God things. You only ask the things that really don't work for God. Imagine the frustration of going to the prayer closet in a way and praying in a way that could not be answered. And one thing that we learn from the Lord is praying in a way that matters, praying in a way that can be answered, is really, 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 really critical. If the Father knows what you need before you ask, because that's what it says, am I correct in the Scripture? Mm-hmm. By no means does he say that. I've actually seen people read that and go, I don't even know if I need to ask because the Father knows what I need. But what's interesting is Jesus says both statements, and he's not an idiot, and he's not contradicting himself. It is important that asking comes out of your mouth. It really is. Asking for the things that you need to ask for are critical. And one of the reasons they make a difference, because if you don't ask, you will not get. And let me explain why. It isn't like it's a little process God puts you through to bring you through hard changes in what you pray for. But if you don't ask, you don't know. And if you don't know, you don't know what you need. And then your life is kind of reckless, is it not, guys? If you don't ask, it's not coming, but it also shows that you're not ready for the things that God put in your heart. Because if God knows the things I need before I ask them, to me it only makes sense that as his Spirit is in me, I'm going to come to the Lord, I'm going to ask, and there's a way that I'm going to ask, and it's going to be proper. Think about this. Ask and it will be given to you. I love it. So where are you at? Where's your mouth at? You know, many times, I want you to think about this. We pray many times for simply the things that bother us, but how short does it come if I only ask God for a favor when I'm hurting? I only ask God for a favor when, you know, when I want something that makes me uncomfortable to go away. Now, I'm not knocking you because I pray if you're hurting, you pray. I pray if you need something. I do pray, you pray. But there's such a bigger dynamic to when Jesus says, you know, ask, and it will be given. Seeking out the right thing is critical, and we need to start asking ourselves a question sometimes. Lord, have I got onto a God-led prayer? We believe the burden of prayer is to ask, but I believe the burden of prayer is to ask, but also to find out what God wants us to ask. It's a simple thing. I've seen people tell me, I've asked God about something for 20 years, and he's still not told me. And many times I've said, well, I don't know that you're asking for the right thing, because I don't see God dragging you out for 20 years. think God wants to put stuff in your spirit. In fact, I think even today, as you sit here as a Christian, there's actually things he seeded into your spirit that he wants you to pray back out. He actually put it in there. Now, there are times where he seeds into us, and the seasons of life come, and there are seasons ordained for that particular seed. When that season comes, the seed comes, then it happens. Seeking out the right thing. So first I'm going to ask, but I want to look at it in the step procedure as well. Seek and, you know, ask and it will be given. And then the second thing he says, seek and you will find. I've talked about this oftentimes. I mean, as we begin to ask God for things, okay, many times we start to tune into his will and his spirit. And then even in our spirit, we begin to seek out what the Lord's doing. We begin to seek out to find the different connections. We begin to seek out to establish the different things. Many times God has put something in my spirit where I finally asked it. And as I asked it, he began to show me things, and it caused me to seek him more. And it's really critical, because I'm going to ask the Lord, I'm going to seek, and I'm going to find. And what I like about this is it's really critical, because again, I just think that many times we do it like a crapshoot. We throw stuff out. You know what I'm saying? We just pray whatever we can. We pray however much we can. We say a lot of things. We ask for a lot of things. And I have no problem, but I think there's a focal point where you start to really dial in. Could you imagine if there's an area God showed you, and he showed you that area? A lot of times, God shows us. We begin to seek him, right? We ask, and he begins to, part of the answering of the prayer is he begins to show us his will in the area. We break things down to, I ask, God gives. God breaks down to things that I ask, and it might be something he's putting in my heart, and then he begins to show me what it is he wants to do, which requires more prayer. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how we have divided prayer up into simply ask, and then I'm waiting for it to come. Part of prayer is to develop you. I've said this to you before. Part of prayer is that you would mature. Part of your praying isn't just about that I asked and he gave it. Part of praying readies you for the things God is doing and for the things that God is bringing. This is why prayer is really critical. But he tells me to ask and it will be given. And I love the promise. I love it. I love that he says, seek and I will find. I've asked God about things and he starts giving me insight, and I begin to seek things out because of what he showed me. And the chain is not done yet. I'm not done. I'm not just simply waiting for it to hit. I spent years praying simply, God, do this, please, and hoping. God, do this, please, and then hoping. And what I began to realize is that sometimes, you know, God would put it in my spirit, and I would say, do this. He began to give me a vision of what it is he was doing, and I began to see a couple of things. And one of them was, I'm not ready for what he's throwing at me. I had the Lord speak to me really loud. I've told this story too many times, that I was asking for something, and I felt like the Lord said, everything you just asked for, you're not ready for any of it. Everything you just asked me for, you couldn't handle it, Mike. Do you want me to answer that? And it's funny, because many of the things we ask for in the kingdom, it's a stewardship, and it's going to require that we handle it right, because souls may be in the balance. People may be in the balance. Everybody loves revival. The word's a buzzword. Fire's a buzzword. I like it. I like Revival Fire. It's an excellent song. But then there's that part where I start asking, and he begins to show me things, and I begin to seek out where I need to be to receive what I'm asking. It's interesting. The delay period between asking and getting is the period where you grow, is the period where you get ready, is the period where maybe even you correct it, is the period. Think about the delay between asking and receiving and how critical it is. Here's the really, and I'm not trying to offend you at all, because I'm offending myself. Like, trust me on this. But it's interesting that we ask and we can be so arrogant as not even to consider the possibility that God's trying to condition me. I'm just asking for this. Please throw it. We're ready in our mind. And God's saying, I got to grow Mike into this. You realize there's prayers I can think of that I've prayed for years. And there were ways that God brought me to meet certain people, to gain certain knowledge, to change. And what I prayed to, 5 years ago, he brings 5 or 6 years later. But with that, there's a growth, and there's a transformation in my spirit, readying me for the things. When I was a new believer, I prayed incredibly big things, but I prayed very ignorantly. And I was very, very ignorant to the fact of the process of prayer and how it changes you and how it grows you. But I love what Jesus says. Ask and it'll be given. Then he says, seek and you will find. Do you know a lot of times too, even in our prayers, we're not even willing to seek out what we need to know. We're not even willing to seek out. We're willing to ask God for something flat out, but if he wants us to kind of press through and to seek so that we can see, we give that up. It's interesting, in the process of prayer, God gets the blame for so many inadequacies regarding how he answers prayer, when the truth is, he's not only adequate, he's the creator, so he knows exactly what he's trying to do. Have you ever considered the delay period between the time you asked and the time you received? It was supposed to be a growth period. It was supposed to better ready your spirit. God wanted to also speak things during the waiting period into you, that he wanted to show you stuff in regards to what you first asked. And he wanted to bring about a state of living in your life that would cause you to be able to truthfully and to adequately deal with what he brings. I love the fact that we grow into things and that it's not presto changer like a magic, you know, pulling a rabbit out of the hat. I love the fact that the Lord is so merciful that he readies us for those things. I admit in my life I've prayed for far many more things that were not even supposed to be or were not supposed to be now. I admit that for many years, it's like a crapshoot. I just shout it out there. I never said, in many ways, I'm like, you know, I'm a Christian, therefore what I pray is Christ-like. But I never even considered many times, Father, steer me, guide me, show me, make me, break me. I hope you get encouraged because you're in a growth process. None of this is preached to put you down because you're in a growth process like me. We're all growing. We're in a growth process that he's making sons and daughters of God, and he's making accurately. You know, and it's really critical when we go to the prayer closet that we begin to understand. And there's things I don't ask for that I should. I don't know about you, but there's things that God has shown me where I need to pray it. I won't pray it. For a couple of reasons. Sometimes I'm either not ready or I'm reluctant to ask for the things because I don't want it to happen at the moment. It's interesting the amount of latitude of games we play with God. And even straight up people do this sometimes, unfortunately. But God wants to anchor you down because your prayer life is what moves mountains. Your prayer life is going to change the world. Your prayer life is going to change your family. Your prayer life is going to change everything. It always does. But I know the Lord is more better readying you. He's readying me. He's taking us to a place where we can truly, truly climb up. And I love what he does, because he says, you know, we ask, we receive, seek, we find. If we knock, and it'll be open. It's three of the most basic steps you're ever going to hit. Are you asking the right thing? Are you willing to seek it out? It may take time. Seriously. Are you willing to seek out that which you need to find? You know, it's interesting. We want instant gratification, and the era we live in is so fast. And we've never talked more and said so little. We really haven't. I'm not going to get up here and knock, you know, social media. It's part of what the world is right now. But what I'm going to say is, Christians, you got to be more sober-minded. I was joking with a friend that likes to use emojis. I'm like, if we keep using emojis, we're going to forget what an expression looks like. Seriously. You know, it's going to be like, oh, I'm so happy, smiley face. Oh, I am so frowned. Let me get a, oh, there it is. And the fact of the matter that we as people need to go through these changes. And then Jesus does something to give what they call, it's a contrast comparison. They call it a few different things, but after he explains about you talking to the Father to ask, to seek, to knock, he then breaks into another gear to show how adequate God is. And I love this because Jesus came to reveal the Father. Did you know that? He came to reveal the Father. It says, verse 9 and 10, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? Jesus is trying to say, listen, people listening to my teaching, you have asked your mom and dad for things all your life. And your mom and dad, many of the people in this crowd, they had parents that loved them. It was a very different lifestyle. But they took care of him, and they fed him, and they went through a lot of grief. That Palestine area back in the day, it was not a fun area to live in certain parts. And there was poverty, and there was people dying in the streets many times. And the people that would have been there, especially the adults, they had been through some things. So as he goes over to the father, because in Israeli family life, the family is so critical. The father, the Abba, the mom, they are so critical. So Jesus immediately heads in to try to give them a better understanding of how adequate God is to give. And he starts to use a baseline of the parent, because the parent's not a bad place to start. The worst home, even like right now sitting in this church, there are kids that have grown up in homes. You were fed. Your parents went to work. They were tired, but they did it anyway. They put a roof over your head. And even if you didn't have everything, you weren't living in the street. You weren't living in the gutter. So Jesus starts to make this comparison. He's trying to get the point home to the listener. I love it. What is their money? When you've asked your dad, you said, "Dad, I'm hungry." He gave you food. He didn't give you a scorpion. When you said, "I need some bread, Dad," he gave you bread. He didn't give you a stone. And it's at that moment that he's really trying to show the people that we pray as children. And we pray as children that have a perfect father. And as we approach the prayer closet, we don't want to get religious. I hate when people approach a prayer closet and they treat God like a distant deity, but not like a father. Because they may feel that it is proper and adequate to pray, but in many ways, you know what's interesting? I heard a guy teaching, and he studied the history of the church for 17 years. That's all he did. It took 17 years to do the early church, did the Nicene Council, the 3rd century, and he said what he found most interesting is that in the modern day era, many times Christians are quoting Reformism or Martin Luther, and they're quoting a form of Christianity that necessarily sometimes isn't even reflected in the Scripture. And I think sometimes, as a teacher, I like to seek out, and I'm trying to not break it down, you guys are smart, but I try to, in a sense, unveil stuff to show you adequately what the Scripture's talking of versus quoting you Reformism from the 16th century. Jeez. The farther we get away from the truth, and the broader it gets, the more fuzzy it gets, and the fuzzier it gets is the less adequate the truth will be to us. It's a simple thing. So he does a comparison, and I love it. Chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Now he really lines it up. First he goes for the most basic sacred connection that we have. He says, if you know, mother and dad. Now he goes to the righteous, unrighteous part. We are all fallible. You are imperfect. As a human being, you are imperfect. You have flaws. You have things. As a human being, you've made mistakes. You're anything but perfect. Now, the term evil, when Jesus used it, wouldn't have been insulting, because in that day, the average Jew said, you know, God is my God. He's a God of mercy, and I am a fallible human being. So when Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So he goes to the parental connection, then he goes to our fallen state to show if you can get it right, God gets it really right. Think about this for a minute. When you are asking the Father, and then the only thing that where we get into a problem is obviously, and I've done this, where I've asked God, you know, you ask God, oh, God bless this. Not even stopping at the place to say, is this you? Because many times I have avoided God because I didn't want to ask it, because I didn't want to know it. Now, people go, that's pretty stupid, because you know God's not going to bless that. Well, of course, but we're as humans, we tend to do that. We categorize, we put one thing. You would be amazed at the darkness we can hold in one category and the light we can walk into another. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's a reality that I've seen all of my life. That's the other part. God's perfect. He's not evil. God's not full of sin. He's not full of bias. He doesn't have a temper. He doesn't have flaws. He doesn't have blemishes. He looks at you. He knows exactly. Is it not weird? When I go to my Father on earth, I used to tell him, you know, I would need something and I was frustrated and, you know, and I had this thing where I'd say, Dad, he'd go, what? I'd say, never mind. So he finally started to hit me when I did that like over 3 times, because I would just do it for an hour. And sometimes it was like something I didn't know, you know, what I needed. And the Father, though, looks at you and he's like perfectly lined up with you. That's the funny part. Do you realize God looks at you as an individual today, right now as you're in this congregation? You know, it even says in the Scripture, I can always see Jesus walking through the aisles and he's looking at you. and he loves you, and he's walking around, and he's looking at your very being, and he knows exactly where you're at, he knows what you're doing, he knows what you shouldn't be doing, he knows what needs to change, he knows what he needs to do. So when you come to the prayer closet, I think this is the part we forget, because oftentimes we pray and go, God is perfect, God is good, I trust him. We say things sometimes that aren't really nailed down in our spirit, and we need to nail that down more. And when we come to the Father, instead of looking at the absolute precision that he sits with as he looks at me, we just kind of go by it. We assume that we believe it without checking it. But Jesus does the ultimate comparison, and the answer is simple. If an imperfect, fallible human being called Dad was able to give me things and even got it right, didn't give me scorpions, he gave me bread, he didn't give me stone, he gave me a place to sleep, he made sure I was fed. When I was sick, he was worried, he took me to the hospital, you know what I'm saying? Even with him being so fallible, so imperfect, look at how good he did. And Jesus is giving something that should really excite you, because he's saying, you know the mom and dad, the parental relationship you had, do you realize when it comes to the Father and asking, that this is like another level? It's so different than what you've known. It should excite us, the proposition of where God wants to go. And yet that's something we do or we don't do. We either get it or we need it. I love the comparison, because my dad got a lot of things right, but he was earthly, he was fallible, he had problems. But he got a lot of things right. Even with that, he got a lot of things right. I'm old enough to say that. You know, you can always tell when you're growing up, and I used to tell people, I knew I was growing up, and I was in my 20s when I understood the immense intelligence of my father. And then I also understood the grief I put him through. I knew that even at that moment I had started growing up. Because before that, I was still an adolescent, talking like one, walking like one. Where you're at today with this reality is really, in many ways, it's a beautiful thing. I want to ask God the things that matter. I want to seek things out. Many times, how many times do you realize that you've asked God for something and it means so much less than 3 days? And what is that? When I ask God the things that he wants, I think the burden should last longer than 3 days or 3 months. Think about this. Many times we ask for things that we're not even willing to seek out, and we ask for things, we're quick, and they're not even important. 3 days later, all of a sudden, I'm on to something else. It's like many times we have spiritual ADD without realizing it, but we don't get a hold of the reality of this thing. Now, Jesus goes to another gear, and this is what I really love, and it always interested me, because he goes into the prayer, he goes into the comparison, he shows us what we need to do. And I want to say this, I really believe many times things are a choice of one's will. Are you with me on this, guys? You want to seek, you can. You want to know what God really wants you to ask, he'll show you. You really want to knock, and I love the knock. The reason I love how he ends up with knock and it'll be open is that it represents the thing I need is there, but there's a door that stands between me and it. And it's something that I have to physically remove to get to what it is I've been asking for. Think about this for a minute. You know, we kind of have taught ourselves when God's in something, there's no fight, there's no pushing, there's no striving. And that's an absolute, that's a religious idea, that is a religious idea that was never found in the scripture. You know, Jesus said, until now the kingdom of heaven and men take it by force. And what he was talking about was actually good. But we've gotten into this accessible, ready-made kind of thing so much that we don't fight for what we need. We don't fight for what we want. We don't fight for what we've prayed for. Especially if there's a door, we go, must not be the Lord, the door's not open. And yet he says, knock, 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 and the door will be open. You will physically have to knock. I want you to think about this. And then in Matthew 7:12, he says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, the reason this is this insertion, okay, guys, is interesting. Why does he go from prayer to relationships? Well, you know and I know that Jesus said, if your brother has aught against you, be right, made right with your brother, then go pray. Don't even pray. Leave your gift at the altar, go be made right with your brother, and then go back to pray. We know in the scripture it says with the husbands and wives, to sum up, let all be kind, harmonious, sympathetic. Let, you know, it talks about also, lest your prayers be hindered. If you're in a relational problem with somebody else, I'm going to tell you something. And I've been there, and I'll probably be there again. This happens to us where our relationships, they get messed up. And it, where does it go? It hits the prayer closet immediately. Now, this doesn't mean you can straighten out things that people don't want to straighten out. If somebody doesn't want to be straight, they don't want to talk about it, or they just refuse to come to grips, well, you've tried, and you move forward. And I believe in that case, your prayers won't be hindered. But many times Jesus talks about treating people, you know, be, you know, in everything, therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. And the reason the relationship kind of connects, it connects. It connects with our prayer life. I've seen people, now, I've seen Christians amazingly go around this and amazingly have broken relationships all over the place, and they're still approaching the altar. And they don't leave the gift. They don't get it straight. They're just praying. And in their mind, it'll work. I often think that we as Christians succeed at minimal prayer, therefore minimal prayer is all we think we need to do. We succeed and we get a few things, and because we got some success in our mind, some of these truths are not as critical. But imagine getting 10% of what you rightfully can have 100% of. Think about this. Imagine settling for 10% when you were offered 100%. Imagine what it would be to where your spirit's right, where your relationships are okay, at least on your end. Again, you can't make people do things, but imagine what it's like to come to the Father in a whole way, and He begins to pour out and lavish on you the very things He wishes to do.
Jesus.
It's interesting because verses 7 through 12 is Jesus does this little compact prayer. And He does this little prayer about, you know what I'm saying. In fact, if you were wondering when we get into relational problems why your prayer life really sunk, well, there's a reason for it. Because we're all connected. We're connected with each other in the body. We're connected with our families. And then we're also by the Spirit connected to God. And it's all one connection. But even as we go out of here today, because I'm summing this up, we need to just say, Father, I want to ask things that, not just that matter, because if I say that, then that still puts you in the driver's seat. Father, show me there's things that I believe you want me to ask you. Seriously. And yes, you could pray all kinds of things, and family, and for family, and it's all good, but for you to go to the Father and say, you know what? I think there's things you would have me ask you, and I don't know that I'm hitting it, God. And I think there's things you wish me to seek out, and I need to find them. And Lord, when I come to the door and there's a door between me and the answer to what I've asked you, I need to knock. I need to knock. I need to open it. I need to receive. This is the funny thing, because prayer is everything. Nothing good will happen without it. Nothing will be broken without it. Successes will not be gained. You can't bypass it. You know, it's interesting. We see people, you know, brain surgeons and all kinds of people have, you know, different tasks that require great amounts of skill. And yet, we approach God sometimes in such a willy-nilly way that it's almost weird. It's like, everything matters, how I do it, except that. And I think it's critical, because one of the fruits that God wants you to bear, I want to tell you something. One of the fruits God wants you to bear is He wants you to have a prayer life where things actually get answered. He wants that. He desires that. Did you know that? He desires an answered prayer life to be part of your testimony. Now, that doesn't mean every single thing I've ever asked God, He's given. But there will be answers. You know, one of the biggest lies as we close that Satan tells the church, he tells the individual Christian. Well, he tells them a lot of things. He tells them you can't expect God to do that, number one. The other thing he does is he points out the mistakes you've made, therefore the things you're asking God to fix, you're not worthy of. But here's the funny thing about that. You were saved by grace through faith, not of works. Therefore, even in many ways, our ability to come to God is through the blood. Our ability to be answered is through the blood, it's through the cross. But Satan does these common things. God's not there. God doesn't care. What you're praying is stupid. You name it. And you know what's funny? The enemy knows that prayer is like a nuclear bomb. He knows it. And he knows when a Christian begins to really get down and get the will of the Lord and starts to see with a clarity, he knows that he's going to get hurt. I want to just, in closing, bring you back to the old adage, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. What I love about that too is it covers three different things, and all of them result in an answer from God. Think about this. Three different avenues, and all of them result in the answer from God. Isn't that exciting? Treat people how you want to be treated. You know what? I think a lot of us, we live our lives to where that's not even an issue. And then we do get older and we slow down a little bit. And I don't mean we're elderly, but we're just older. We start to go, I really wouldn't want that to be done to me. I can't do that to this person. And it's good because we get a conscience. I believe God's put it there. And we start to say, you know, I'm doing this, but I would never, ever take this from somebody. So why am I putting it out? And we need to ask these questions. But God wants to answer your prayer life. I really believe that. And he has. We've prayed things that have come about. We've asked God. You've, in your life, you know what this looks like. Am I right? No, it's interesting. I had a relative tell a story of her son, and he got the stick bug, and was really excited for show and tell. And the cage got popped open, and he looked all over. And the mother, being a believer, said, let's ask Jesus. Now, a lot of people go, that's just stupid. Even a lot of Christians would go, don't get the kids' hopes up. But the mom decided to do this. And the kid was crying. It was for show and tell. I don't know if he was in second grade or third. And he just went to bed all despondent. And the mom said, let's ask Jesus, help us find the stick bug. And when the son got up in the morning, he went in to use the bathroom. You know, he gets up, and the stick bug's on the mirror. Just sitting there alive. And it's interesting because that actually affected the son. Even though he was little, he always remembered the stick bug. That something insignificant and seemingly unimportant, he always felt it was a connection to God, that God made the stick bug on the mirror. So as we go, we just want to make sure that we understand this and begin to try it. Begin to say, Father, and I want to say this in closing. Sometimes there's an area, and God wants you to pray about it, but there are things in that area that he actually is more crucial. And you may be praying over here, and he'll say, pray for this in that area. You're right to be at the area, but I want to show you something. And he'll begin to show you stuff in that area, and it'll change the game. Let's all rise and pray. Father, we just missed today. We just ask your blessing. We just ask your blessing. We want to ask that it'll be given. We want to seek it and find. We want to knock that the door may be open. We're asking your touch. We're asking your touch today. We're asking your touch. Lord, as we go everybody's, I've got stuff to do, everybody's got stuff to do, that you would bless, that you would show us and bring us into that deeper place. We want to be people of prayer, and I understand, Lord, that so many times the enemy comes in and he robs that. He robs the prayer life, he robs the prayer closet, because he knows when Christians don't pray, he knows essentially not much happens. So we ask a blessing as we dismiss this morning, and just ask you to pour out upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus, let there be answered prayers. Absolutely. That's one of the fruits that the Father, Lord, you want to make happen. We pray and believe you today. In the name of Jesus. Blessings, everyone. Good to be with you here.